I went to the RV show here in Quartzsite recently, so we're going to talk about rigs. From my point of view, in podcast 1040, 1040, the Bob Davis podcasts, sitting in the truck today. Windy and 80 plus degrees here in Quartzsite on a beautiful Wednesday. It's so great. I just want to say real quickly that it is just great to, I have waited so long to just have this wonderful experience of it being, you open the truck in the morning and it's like a beautiful summer morning. All day is just fantastic. So yeah, we're live from another part of Quartzsite, another campsite here in the BLM lands, the land of the nomad. We're going to talk about RVs in this podcast. So I want to talk about making contributions to the Bob Davis Podcast at thebobdavispodcast.com. You just go to the page, thebobdavispodcast.com, look down the right-hand side of the page, you're going to see a picture of mobile podcast command and a big yellow oval thing that says donate underneath that. Click it and you can send me a donation. You can also do a smaller amount and make it a reoccurring donation. Thank you, Mindy Collins, for $25. Thank you, Matt Ashley from Triton Marketing for $50. Matt, great to have you along. He's been listening on the radio for years and also the podcast. And Mindy, what can I say? I really appreciate it because the contributions from listeners are really helping keep this show on the road, whether it goes in the tank or in my belly. thanks for subscribing to the Bob Davis Podcasts on iTunes. If you have an Android device, a couple of options. Google Podcasts are great. Also, Spotify or Amazon Music. And if you have a subscription to Audible, then that works as well to get the podcast. And they're all over the place, a lot of different places. Obviously, Spotify is a great platform. And right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, you can also subscribe to the feed on the page or at iTunes. Again, I appreciate subscriptions to iTunes. And again, I appreciate your contributions for the Bob Davis Podcast at thebobdavispodcast.com. One of the things that's come up in some of these nomad conversations is, how do I make money while I'm on the road? A lot of people go the media route, which I think is saturated. One of the things that you can do is you can invent something, you can make something, you can create something, some kind of something that you can manufacture easily and sell in your vehicle or online or on both, okay? If you want to think about doing that, you might want to think about American manufacturing at Depot Star. Depot Star is a manufacturing company in the United States that was created by an inventor. So I call it the manufacturer with an inventor's heart. Depot Star, check them out online at Depot Star, D-E-P-O-T-S-T-A-R, DepotStar.com. American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing, Depot Star. Quartzsite, Arizona is a mecca for RVers, and particularly the, you know, grandma and grandpa, older boomer generation with really nice RVs, a lot of them here. But it's also a mecca, as everyone knows from the movie Nomadland, for nomads and all kinds of hippies and everything else. It peaks here in mid to late January with the big RV show. There are several of these free campgrounds, from the long-term visitor areas to all these Bureau of Land Management free campgrounds all up and down the 10, all the way over to the border, and then also in California, up the road, down the road, they're all over the place. Parker. So a lot of people spend the winter here because, as I have detailed in other podcasts, We here in Quartzsite, those of us who are here temporarily, I wouldn't even insult the Quartzsite residents by claiming residents in Quartzsite, but in Arizona, probably the worst part of winter is December. And that's, you know, highs of 50s, lots of clouds, rain here and there, wind storms, pretty cool things. And then it starts to warm up again in January. It's pleasant all through that period of time. And by middle of February, it starts to get up into the 80s. And then in March, it starts to get quote unquote hot. I don't, the heat doesn't bother me, but we start to transition. So I'm already experiencing this summer thing, and I just wanted to devote a little time in this podcast to talk about it because I love it so much. It's so great. So the RV show is the peak moment for Quartzsite. And if you took a bird's eye view of it, there's a huge white tent. They call the tent the big tent, which goes up, and that houses all the vendors. And then there are all kinds of RVs and, you know, sort of beer gardens and stuff like that around it. And it is free, by the way. There's no charge. So the other thing is that between the big tent and the other tents and vendors there for the show, there you have all sorts of things. And I mean, everything you can possibly think of is for sale in these tents. Grocery stores, you know, which feature stuff that fell off a truck, as far as I can see, which is good. And it's an all cash business. I doubt there isn't anything that you could think of that they wouldn't have under these, you know, tents, as long as you're not thinking Whole Foods and the kinds of stuff you get in the big cities. But I was a little surprised to find that there are no quote-unquote conversions of any kind. None of the quirky rigs Quartzsite's Nomad community is famous for, whether it's schoolies, box trucks, vintage Greyhounds, crazy mashups of all kinds, ambulances, and vintage C-class, B, and A-class RVs. You know, I was out at Plumosa before they asked. They didn't really ask me to leave, but they made it clear that there were other places to camp. So Plumosa Road is the furthest from Quartzsite BLM, and it's usually not as heavily populated. And it goes down about 6, 7, 8, 10 miles where people can take their RVs. And so it can absorb an awful lot of rigs. And one Sunday, we just sat out there, and that's the real RV show, because you see these beautiful converted GMC buses. You see that are, you know, vintage and beautiful, repainted, gorgeous vehicles, you know, ambulances. As I said, there's always the guy with, he's got half an RV on the back of a pickup truck towing the other half behind him. You know, lots of ambulances, lots of school buses, some that are, you know, smoking and lurching and wallowing, and others that are beautifully done. So that's kind of the real RV show. And we didn't talk to any of those people. You can't tour the vehicles, but they're really cool to see what people have done on their own in their own sort of creative way. Some of them are really amazing. So campgrounds is where you see that's the real RV show. And then also in town. So when you're in town in Quartzsite, go to one of the grocery stores or get some fuel or, you know, anything, any errand that you have to do, or to go to the RV show. That's where you see the close up. You get to see all these vehicles. And those are I've become partial to the mashups and the big buses and, you know, the things, again, that people who are really creative have come up with solutions so that they can afford to do it, and so that they can have basically the equivalent of one of these giant bus RVs, which I'll talk about in a little while. So then when you get to the show, you have all these vendors inside the tent. The vendors include all the regular RV stuff that you can think of, as well as the usual state fair vendors and things like the people that do the demos, you know, the Ginsu knife guy, the blenders, the coffee makers, the TVs, and then all these service providers, as well as a lot of RV campgrounds and people like that that have booths there. And, you know, I don't need most of that stuff, so to me it didn't really hit me. But if you were a full-time RV person, like your grandma and grandpa or your mom and dad, those are essentials. You know, things that break: trailer hitches, solar, black water, electrical hookups, cables, connectors, that was all there. And so you saw a lot of people that are passing through that stop at the show to get stuff that they actually need. And so this is one of the reasons this is such a heavily attended show. And this is why the town is like, you know, Phoenix or Chicago downtown. You can't move hardly in traffic because everybody is there. My favorite Vendors, though, are across the road, the Tent City vendors, the people that have the buffalo and cow hides and the buffalo blankets, the Army Surplus guys, the incense guys, the kitchen utensil, tent, which has every possible kitchen utensil you can, possibly imagine. I bought a RV mat so I don't have to be walking around in the dust in front of the vehicle. Chairs, those fold-out RV chairs, some of them are expensive, some of them not so expensive. Pretty much any kind of thing that you would want to buy, whether you want to buy it for $20 or $60 or $120, they've got them. Off-road vehicle flags, the Trump guy with the Trump signs, and so forth. It's pretty fun and it's kitschy, but it's still great. But it is the several million dollar collection of big RVs that is the most visible part of the show if you're driving down 95. And this is what kind of sucks people in. And it provokes me to talk about rigs and more in the second half of this podcast. Well, now that it's getting warm, I can start doing yoga again. And that makes me very, very happy. But if you cannot get to the yoga studio, or you can't exercise right now because of various reasons, I'm going to give you an option, because you can do it behind your desk, you can do it at a chair, you can do it in your vehicle, and you can get your whole team on Zoom and do it together through BU Enterprises. They have a toolbox which helps you be free, it helps you be more fit, it can fulfill a lot of needs, and they can do corporate deals as well. So I mentioned a couple of times that I've done these exercises with Juliet from BU that you do in your vehicle. She can see what you're doing, you can see what she's doing, and it really helped. And she has a whole team of people that can do this. So check them out at buenterprises.com or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Let me set the stage a little bit here. For as long as I can remember, I've wanted one of those big RVs. I also wanted a van. So it started with a van. I think my dad took me to an auto show in Chicago at McCormick Place, or whatever it's called, McCormick Center now, I don't know. And it was probably 1978, 75, 74, maybe 73, maybe later, I don't know. And there was a whole section, and this is actually what I thought this RV show was going to be. You know, we've all been to an auto show. And if you've ever been to a big auto show in Detroit or Chicago or LA, they pull out all the stops, or they used to back in the day. You know, different color carpeting, cut into, you know, the whole thing, right? And there was a whole display of Dodge vans. And they were built like Hot Wheels cars. They had big mag wheels and tires, and they were orange and green. You know, we're talking about electric orange and green and electric blue. At that time, there weren't that many designs on them. Later, they got into the design. They did have the teardrop windows in back, or the little sort of moon windows in back that were sort of, indented. And they had black shag carpeting. I mean, they were like what became sort of the 80s hairband vans, right? The kind of van that Motley Crue's guy would have, that kind of thing. And I wanted one of those. I had visions of myself driving one of those. I fantasize about it for, you know, months. It's all I could think about. And I don't know why I didn't just go get a job at, you know, the steel mill or something and make enough money to buy one, but that's what I wanted. So my obsession with being a nomad, really, and traveling started with those 70s Hot Wheel type edge vans with a lot of shag carpeting, blue and black, and some of them had white. They were great, and I'll never forget that. And that's what I thought this show was going to be. So then my fantasies continued onto tour buses and those really nice Winnebagos and the late 70s, early 80s GMC and Airstream Class A's, which is a Class A is the kind that you drive. It's a giant trailer, but you drive it, basically. It's a whole RV that you drive. And usually, at that time, I think those GMCs had basically the Chevy 454 truck engine in them, and they were horrible on gas, but they were probably the nicest. They were streamlined. They were very futuristic looking. I know you've seen one. And there was actually one for sale that was made by Airstream in the parking lot across from the show. But, you know, I wouldn't want to even think about it. They got about 4 miles to the gallon. So there you go. Those were my fantasies all the way to what they call Super C's now, which are based on semi chassis, as well as the big bus chassis Tiffins and Liberty Coaches and Prevosts of today, the tour bus kind of looking thing. Or I'd fantasize about building a box truck on a Freightliner or international platform. You also have these incredible Earth Roamers and their ilk. None of those were here. There's actually an Earth Roamer type vehicle based on a military vehicle. There's a European one, and then there's one in the United States. None of those were here. But they all have, the Earth Roamers and all of these companies have their glossy IG pics of these RVs sitting on a beach in Southern California at sunset, which, as far as I know, is really relatively unachievable. You go down to San Diego and try to get a slip somewhere or whatever you want to call it, and you can't get into an RV park. It's hard to find places to camp down there, and I'll continue to try that. I have friends that do it, so I know it's possible, but the question is, could you get a Liberty Coach down onto that beach without getting stuck down there? And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on. But I always thought, in my fantasies, you know, there would be room for a full-on radio studio in the back. They have massive windshields and tilt wheels and, you know, captain's chairs that you sit in when you drive, and double door refrigerators, microwaves, two TVs, and tons of storage in, you know, underneath the bus. And they have those huge diesels. And I always imagine, you know, the diesel and my big Class A Liberty Coach running early in the morning on a, you know, 20 degree day in Minnesota as I just pulled out to head out to the southern warmer realms. They have pull-out grills and kitchens that you pull out to boot, and outdoor televisions. And oh, what a nomad I would be in one of those. So I decided to tour a few of the big, beautiful Class A's. So I went in a couple. They had a couple used ones there, and they all had, the ones I went in, all had these white tile floors. And of course, they're, even if they're big squares, they are fitted in, and there's a groove between the tiles, a slight groove between the tiles. And the first thing I thought is, out here in Quartzsite, if you're on, well, even if you could get that thing into the BLM, you know, campground, the dust is going to get collected in those cracks and you'll never get it out. That's the first thing I thought. Then I went in this other one. Okay, so it has the tile floors. It also has the wood, real wood floors in the back. Two bathrooms. So if the bathroom that's right off the little sitting area that you can get to, it's 4 feet away, isn't good enough, you can walk 4 more feet, 5 feet, 10 feet, and there is a giant master bathroom in the back, in the master suite, which of course has a television. There's a television in the sitting area by the kitchen, and the kitchens are ridiculous. Granite countertops and beautiful cabinets, and you know, they're nicer than most people's houses, really. The fridges and everything else. And so then we get to the stickers, and this is the thing that just blows me away. So those big Liberties are, you know, I would be surprised if you weren't in the $1 million range, particularly with the extras, but I would say at least over $700,000. A used one, like a used Tiffin, maybe you could get for $379,000, you know, late model to 2020 or something like that. Then I saw they had a couple of the Mercedes Sprinters, you know, $190,000. The new Revel, which is I think that's an Airstream product, and it's an Airstream build on a Mercedes, you know, dually Sprinter, is $190,000. And they're great because they go pretty much anywhere and they have all the comforts of home. But, you know, $190,000, man. Other types of Sprinters, well over 100,000. Class C's, which are the kind that have the camper over, so it's like a Ford E350 or a Chevy, you know, 3500 basic, you know, truck with the engine, you know, the engine in front or on the, you know, over where the driver sits. You know what I'm talking about, like ambulances or something like that. And then you have a sleeping area over the cab. And then you have a pretty nice RV in the back. I actually like the Class Cs. I think they're pretty cool, but those are also over $100,000. And of course, basically what you're talking about here are land yachts. I can remember people talking about wanting to buy a boat and just being shocked, sticker shock, at how expensive they are. And it was always, well, you know, they have to go in the water and they're overbuilt and they need these things because you can't get those things if you're in the water and all this other stuff. And so buying some kind of a power yacht is ridiculous. Well, this is turning into the same thing right now. Even the trailers, which are the most popular selling RVs these days, these are the fifth wheels. These are the trailers that you see attached to in the bed of most of these big pickup trucks. So they have like a sleeping area bedroom in the top that attaches to the back of the pickup truck with a hitch, like a semi, a miniature version of that. And then the rest of the RV is in back. These are, you know, really expensive, $100,000, $80,000. And they have huge windows and island kitchens. And, you know, if you have four or five kids, if you have three kids, I can see, or if you want to go traveling with your whole family, I can see why a fifth wheel would be, you know, preferable. My friend just bought one and he said, you know, I got to have a nice bathroom and I got to have a, you know, and I did a whole podcast about the gotta haves. Also, there's a number of double axle pull behinds, but these were the luxury ones. There's some pretty cool pull behind trailers that are set up for basically to go behind, you know, a four wheel drive vehicle and be hauled anywhere. I think those are really cool. I don't particularly like trailers, but that's a solution if you want to have a fair amount of luxury while you're out in the middle of nowhere. Well, there you go. And I don't know what those are, but they can't be cheap either. And yes, you know, people buy them used. The art for this podcast, if you look at it on the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, is a picture of a van. It's not a van. I mean, it's a Class A camper that was for sale for $379,000. New diesel. And I thought, well, okay, new diesel, but why does a three-year-old, you know, Class A have to have a new diesel? That was my first question. But, yeah, people get them used, but still, they're very expensive. And if you, I have friends that have looked and looked and looked, and they've found them for older ones, like, you know, early 2000s, late 90s, for $30,000. And that's, I could do a whole podcast about what is required if you get one of those, because these systems are not designed, let's just put it this way, they're not mil-spec. They're not designed like a military vehicle would be designed to last and last and last, or like municipal vehicles are designed to put up with a lot of punishment. These are designed to be really nice homes, and then they fall apart, is my takeaway. Now, I have not had one that fell apart, but the people I do know that have them, you know, there are things separating from the walls and the carpeting gets moldy, and there's all kinds of issues that you have to deal with if you own one of those, just like when you own a house. And the idea here of the nomading was to avoid those kinds of expenses and that kind of debt. But after seeing all this, I can see why people then go the route of converting school buses and other types of vehicles. Or if they're young, they really don't convert the school buses. They just take the seats out and throw, you know, rugs down and fashion some kind of a kitchen and a vent and some other stuff, and they're off and running. So I understand why people do that and convert or mash up vehicles and use their creativity to figure out how to have this solution so they can have the Class A experience with a school bus. And if I won the lottery, I would have one of those big Class A's. I'd have a bus Class A, and I would have a garage someplace in Arizona where that thing lived so that when I wanted to take it out, I could. But I would also have, I would still have Mobile Podcast Command Unit 8, and I'll tell you why. So I thought when I left the show that I would feel depressed. So I walked out of the show and slid down the embankment into the wash, climbed back up the embankment into the long-term visitor area. I have a sticker, so I parked down there and came to my sad old ambulance, baking in the sun in the dusty LTVA parking lot next door, and I was very surprised to feel happy and contented. Why? Well, first of all, we don't have that many systems to worry about. So if you're driving an old school bus and you don't have that many systems in it, or you got an old ambulance, or you got some kind of truck that, you know, is a box truck or something, you can get it in to wherever you want to go. I don't have any problem getting this thing, especially now that I have all-terrain tires on it. I don't have any problem getting into, you know, any of these campgrounds. So I can enjoy and relax and say, oh, I want to go over there. And all I got to do is walk the road, make sure it's okay, and then I can go down that road and go over there, up a hill, down a hill, or whatever. I think the big vehicles, you would be a little, I'd be a little ginger about taking my $1 million Liberty coach or something else like that down one of these weird rocky dirt roads in no man's land, right? But there's fewer systems in this. I don't have to worry. You know, I have a heating system. I have propane and a heating system. I have, you know, other stuff. But all my cooking is done outside for the most part. If it's raining and windy and cold, I can cook in here if I have to. I don't even use my camp stove anymore. I just use a caterer stove. If I wanted to, I could, sort of build some kind of a kitchen in here based on the caterer stove. I don't need to do that. But the best part is maintenance and real travel, like driving across the country and doing the things that I've done, is really easy to do. I don't have a huge fuel bill that I would have if I had a much bigger RV. I don't have other kinds of issues like that. So, you know, small is beautiful, and it's weird, but I felt really good about this vehicle as I pulled out and headed away from the show. So it's a great show. If you're an RV person, if you're a full-time RVer, you know what I'm talking about because you've probably been there. It's great to be able to go, oh, I need to get this kind of a connection for this, and I need to get that, and I need to get another rug for that. Fine. That's what's great about the show. And everybody can use that stuff. So it's not just the big, fifth wheels and Class A's that need that stuff. So it's a great RV show. I just wish they would. Now, just before I say this, I have to say, I was going to say, I wish they would place it in for what I would call the mashups and the weird, quirky vehicles that are so common in Quartzsite. They did have a big sort of get-together the week before the show started. They don't mix those groups. But what about the GMC buses and the really nice schoolies? They did have a schoolie convention up in Parker. They got kicked out and they had to move to Ehrenberg, I think it's called. So there was a big schoolie convention. And now there's another thing out on Plumosa Road with vans helping vans. So there are little groups of people, like Airstream people, are getting together out here. And those are just fun social groups. But it'd be cool to see some of those groups in the RV show, because that's where you really get ideas if you're that interested in it. So as my friend Andy McVeigh remarked, he came down for the show and we went to the show. So I went twice. I went by myself because I want to get the lay of the land. And then he came down a couple days later and we went. And halfway through the show, I said, well, what do you think? And he goes, well, I'm glad I came. And I said, well, why are you glad you came? And he said, because now I know I don't ever have to come back. So I thought that was pretty funny. So that's the take on the RV show and the end, the killing of my dreams of getting a huge, tour bus to travel the country and the end of the fantasies, the boyhood fantasies of being a nomad in one of these incredible RVs. What would a podcast be without talking about 36 Lynn, the independently owned and operated community-focused refueling station at 36 and Lindale Avenue in the Lynn Lake neighborhood in Minneapolis? Really, there's two things about 36 Lynn. In a way, neither one of them has anything to do with fuel, but they do get a better deal on fuel, and they pass the savings on to customers, which is why they're always busy. They have the best Instagram feed I've seen in a long time. They now do this weird newscast, which is... It's just the greatest. And they talked about how to, you know, get around high costs of fuel and what the story with all that is. But the store has all kinds of things like empanadas and drinks that you won't find anyplace else, great coffee and more. So remember 36 and Lynn next time you swing through Minneapolis and need a gas or a cup of coffee. They are in the Lynn Lake neighborhood, South Minneapolis, 36th Street South and Lyndale Avenue South. Swing by, say hello, and get some empanadas and enjoy yourself at 36LYN, 36 Lynn. Check them out online at 36lynn.com or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Well, it is fun to talk about rigs. In fact, we spend an awful lot of time out here talking about rigs. It's like a master's degree program in rigs. Doing this, and I go round and round and round constantly about what I want to do, what am I going to do if the ambulance bites the dust, how am I going to figure this out, what would I do if I wanted to finish out a school bus, because frankly the big RVs are out of the question in terms of cost and in terms of being able to go places that I like to go. We talk about this stuff a lot, so it's always fun to talk RVs. Thanks for listening to podcast 1040, the Bob Davis Podcast. Let's talk about RVs.